Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to Radio Islam on Medium Wave 1548. I am Yusuf Asmalji and you are tuned to In Focus. Alhamdulillah, Monday nights, as you know, every second week we have Mufti Ilyas in our studios, and about 2 weeks ago Mufti Saab spoke to us on the topic of Imam Mahdi, and inshallah we will be continuing with that topic this evening. It is now 20 minutes to 9 and we'll be breaking at 9 o'clock for the news and then proceeding until 9:30 or 20 to 10 inshallah. And also, this is a phone-in program, so if you have any questions or any queries you'd like to ask Mufti Saab in connection with the topic Imam Mahdi, you can call us on 854-6854 or fax us on 854-702304. The number in the studio, 854-6854 or fax us on 854-702304. And Mufti Saab will continue with just a summary of what we discussed 2 weeks ago and then continue with the topic. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. 2 weeks ago we commenced with the topic concerning Mahdi, and tonight inshallah we continue. If you have any queries or questions or clarification concerning Mahdi, you are at liberty to phone and inshallah we'll try to answer those questions. Nevertheless, so far we have mentioned and discussed that concerning Mahdi, we have got prophetic sources, that means from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And regarding the prophetic sources, we will have two types of hadiths there. One, authentic, and the other, fabrications and forged ahadith which have crept into the literature of ahadith. Then we have got non-ahadith which I have termed as predictions, because a prediction will be linked to a non-Nabi and a prophecy will be linked to a Nabi. As far as predictions are concerned, we have got them into two categories. One is Muslims, Sufis and scholars and visionaries who have made certain predictions either via research or ilham, inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, we have got dreams. And dreams, as explained, or I just touched on it, that dreams, everybody is dreaming. That Mahdi is coming, Mahdi is born, Mahdi, we saw him here, and Mahdi has been seen there. But we have not yet discussed in detail about the prophetic sources, etc. And I mentioned thereafter that the whole idea of this program is that when we begin to discuss and mention the true, valid, authentic qualities and descriptions of Mahdi from the books and from the authentic, reliable books, then we can easily differentiate and make out when someone claims to be a Mahdi, we'll be able to make out that that's a false call, or that person is making a false claim because he does not fit the description of Mahdi as described by Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the whole idea is, the more we learn and discuss from reliable, authentic sources about Mahdi, then inshallah we'll be saved from, first of all, the false claimants of Mahdi. Secondly, we also will know when to expect him, when not to expect him. Is the time ripe or is it too far away? So we can judge by the prophetic and the ahadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when we can expect Mahdi. Also, there is a group, on one side we get every now and then someone claiming that he is Mahdi. On the other side we get certain people who say, no, Mahdi and Isa alayhi salam, they are one and the same person. But in the light and view of authentic ahadith, Mahdi is a different person and Isa alayhi salam is a different person. And Dajjal, one who is anti-Islam, he is a different person. Then there is a hadith of those people, another group, who still say that no, there is no concept, no such thing as Mahdi. They say there is a hadith in Ibn Majah which states that La Mahdi illa Isa. However, the scholars of ahadith have clearly stated that that hadith is forged and that hadith is not reliable, and Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi stated very clearly that that hadith is weak. So Al-Haythami has also stated that hadith is weak, Ibn Qayyum has stated that hadith is weak, and Bayhaqi has also stated that hadith is weak. Yeah, I would like to explain one important small point that concerning the hadith, the clarification of it and the classification of it, whether this hadith is strong or weak, whether this hadith is forged or fabricated, whether this hadith from which we can deduce a belief or not, whether this hadith is of that nature where we can use it for virtues or not, this has to be done by authorities of hadith, scholars of hadith, and scholars of the past who throughout their entire life spent 24 hours of the day virtually studying the science of hadith, the transmitters, the text of the hadith. So their opinion and their views will be given preference definitely over so-called 20th scholars of hadith who cannot even read the hadith properly. So we must understand that the reliable, authentic scholars of hadith will guide us and show us which hadith is valid and which hadith is not valid, which hadith is authentic, which hadith is not authentic. Not a person here who picks up one, two translations of hadith and say that he has become scholar of hadith. Going further, we mentioned in brief concerning the minor signs, and then we mentioned some description of Mahdi. Tonight's discussion, I would like to go further and discuss about some of the signs preceding Mahdi. And we last session, I mentioned various small or minor signs which we can see, unfortunately or fortunately from one angle, have already occurred. However, in the hadith books, there are some signs that have been recorded, and I would like to mention them so that you can get a good idea that is it time now that Mahdi must come?
Okay, Mufti Sahab, before we go on, let's remind our listeners that you can call in with any of your questions or comments relating to the topic of Mahdi on 854-6854, or fax us on 854-702405, or if you have email available, you can email us on info@radioislam.org.za. And also, we announced earlier a missing person, that was Brother Muhammad Hanif Kala from Extension 7. He has been found, alhamdulillah. There was no indication of him being robbed or any of that sort. He was found safely by his family. So we announced him missing, we thought it appropriate to let our listeners know that he is safe at home. Mustafa, you want to go on?
The signs preceding the coming of Mahdi. One is that there will be no barakah, there will be no blessings in time, and the last hour will not come before time contracts, meaning that there will be no barakat in the time, a year being like a month like a week like a day, a day like an hour like the burning of a palm leaf. Now, when we look at this hadith, then definitely one will easily say, and everybody complains, that just the other month was Ramadan, and now Ramadan is within 15 days of us. Just the other day it was the time for Hajj and proceeding for Hajj. We, yeah, even in the radio station, we know that very sure, not so long ago we were discussing the laws of fasting, zakat and itikaf, and very soon we are going to be doing it again. With all the latest technology that we have got, cell phone, email, fax and telephone, all the modern equipment of communication has turned the whole world into a global village. Instead of creating barakat in the time or blessing in the time, we are getting everyone complaining that what I used to do in 1 week, now I have got no time. Time is running out. Then the eclipse of the moon in Ramadan. This has been so frequently commented and discussed. It has been stated that Mahdi will emerge, that the moon will be eclipsed twice in Ramadan. According to some book, another book that I read, it stated that in the month of Ramadan there will be two eclipses. And one book has stated that there will be one solar eclipse and one lunar eclipse. Another book had stated no, there will be two lunar eclipses. And another book stated no, there will be one eclipse on the first of Ramadan, and the other eclipse will be in the middle of Ramadan. And another book I read stated no, there will be two eclipses, one will be in the first of Ramadan and the other on the 15th of Ramadan. And due to this hadith being so frequently quoted, certain scholars have even specified the date when these eclipses are going to take place and when the Mahdi thereafter is going to come. A hadith in Tabrani, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that a man of the Umayyads will take power in Egypt, and then his power will be taken from him or wrested from him, and he will flee to Byzantine and enlist them against the people of Islam, and that will be the first of the battles. Now the word, according to the scholars, Egypt refers to the land of Pharaoh, and some even say that this perhaps refers to the Gulf War, which has already taken place. Another hadith has been quoted that a star with a luminous tail will rise from the east before the Mahdi emerges. Now, some of them say that this refers to Halley's Comet, and Halley's Comet has already come and gone. So, and its tail was exceeding about 30 million kilometers, etc. Those who are accustomed to astrology will know what has happened. Now, another hadith states in Ahmad and Al-Hakim that the Masjid of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be like a white fortress. It is stated, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the day of deliverance. What is the day of deliverance? They said, O Rasul of Allah, what is the day of deliverance? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Dajjal will come and look at Medina, and Dajjal will say to his companions, that means his friends, do you see this white fortress? This is the Masjid of Ahmad. Now, those of you who have seen Masjid al-Nabawi after its latest construction and renovation, and no doubt it looks like the white fortress now. And it is stated in a hadith that Dajjal will be able to enter everywhere besides Medina and Makkah. Dajjal will not be able to enter there. So this hadith is speaking the Dajjal from outside, and from outside could be very easy nowadays, that he could be even seeing it from satellite, and a person who can see it from very far away and look into Makkah and Medina. It is stated in another hadith from Nuaym ibn Hammad, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Mahdi would not emerge until people spit in each other's faces. Now, spitting in each other's faces, as this has become so common, it's unreal. And even in parliaments these days, in the so-called democratic parliaments of the world, that they spit at each other, they punch each other, and they throw chairs at each other, and they wrestle with each other, and they swear at each other, and they abuse each other. And all this is part of democracy in their eyes. So spitting, they have gone far ahead of that. Then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about, according to those who state that these are the signs before the hour, and they quote a famous hadith that in Zulqa'dah the tribes will fight, and this refers to the tribes in Arabia. The tribes will fight, the Hajis will be looted, and there will be a battle at Mina in which many will be slain and blood will flow until it runs over the Jamara-e-Aqaba, and until their companions flee to a point between the corner and the Maqam, and is forced to accept people's allegiance. He is told, if you refuse, we will cut off your head. Now this refers to events just preceding the birth onto the hands of Mahdi. So this will be the year in that Hajj, according to what we are reading, in that Hajj there will be looting, fighting amongst the Arab tribes. And this looting and fighting will take place first of all before Hajj. And it will take place in the month before Hajj. It will take place in Zulqa'dah. And this looting and fighting will overflow into the days of Hajj. And from this hadith it is clearly indicated that by then Mahdi will be born and his age will be right for at about 40, ready for taking allegiance. Then there will be bloodshed, looting, fighting, chaos, killing, plunder in Mina to such an extent that blood will run to the Jamara, the Jamara, the Aqaba, the big one. So thereafter people will begin to flee and go towards Makkah looking for the Mahdi, so to take bath on his hands.
Okay, let's take a quick break. Inshallah, after we return, we're going to carry on with the topic on Mahdi, as we rightfully said last week. And the number in the studio that you can call is 854-6854, or fax us on 854-70245, or email us on it's info@radioislam.org.za. Stay tuned. I think I'm sure we know very little about, and Mufti Sahab was just saying that no one's calling in, but I think we're all learning. Mufti Sahab, it's a topic where people, there are a lot of predictions. People say Mahdi is coming, when is he coming? People even may have a date and time. Unfortunately, we don't know the facts, and I think that's why we've got you here today. But please call in, and if you have any doubts and you'd like to clear up any issues, you can call us on 854-6854, fax us on 854-70245, or email us on info@radioislam.org.za. Mufti, before you go on, we spoke about the Dajjal just a few moments ago. Again, I say, many of us, there may be people out there that don't know about the Dajjal. Many people say there isn't a Dajjal. Some say there is a Dajjal. They have a description of the Dajjal. Could you maybe just talk a little bit about that?
Before we continue from where I left, I'll just answer your question in brief, because I mentioned clearly that Mahdi is one individual and Isa alayhi salam is another. And according to the belief of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat, that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was not crucified but physically ascended by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was met by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the night of Miraj, and he will descend towards the end of the hour, after the coming of Mahdi, and when there will be news that Dajjal has come out and Dajjal has appeared. Now, the word Dajjal, because it means fraud, deception, so generally some people, they say, you know, Dajjal means the condition prevailing at that time, the deceptive condition or the fraudulent activities of the people, the sin, the vice, transgression, disobedience, and they classify it that is the time of Dajjal. However, that ulama ikram are unanimous on this decision, and there is ijma on this, that Dajjal is a person, and his description has been given in the ahadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the person who denies that Dajjal is not a person, or Dajjal is just a concept, or Dajjal is an environmental setup, or Dajjal is, for example, television, or Dajjal is the trials and tribulation of the hour, that this person here who denies the physical nature that Dajjal is a person, he is not in the fold of Islam. He leaves the fold of Islam when he denies that Dajjal is not a person. And these days, proudly, we invite to our lectures and our seminars and our programs and our functions those people who claim to be scholars of Islam and research scholars in Islam and dynamic personalities in Islam, because sometimes they speak English in a different accent, or they speak English using very big words or eloquently, that we feel, oh, that we should invite this person. And although this person, he is not even a Muslim, because he holds beliefs which are contrary to the ijma of the ummah, and he believes in such things which make him a non-Muslim because of the heretical and blasphemous beliefs that he holds. I hope that answers. Inshallah, if time permits, as we go on, we will discuss about Dajjal. Let us complete and pave the way for Mahdi first. Then we can talk about Isa alayhi salam and then Dajjal. I was mentioning that according to some of the hadith that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam stated, there will be bloodshed in the time of Hajj. There is a hadith in Hakim and Nu'aym that people will perform Hajj together and gather without an imam. While they are camped, they will be afflicted by something like rabies. The tribes will attack one another and fight until Aqaba runs with blood. Yeah, they're talking about some disease like rabies. Perhaps it's referring to biological warfare and utilizing of chemical warfare. They will turn to the best man of them and go to him while he is pressing his face to the Kaaba weeping. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I can visualize his tears, and they'll say to him, come and let us pledge allegiance to you. He will say, woe to you, how many treaties you have broken and how much blood you have shed. But he will be forced to accept their allegiance. If you meet him, give him your allegiance. He is the Mahdi on earth and the Mahdi in the heavens. Obviously, these events are to be taking place, the Hajj, preceding the recognition who is Mahdi. It is stated in a hadith, Messenger of Allah, Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he mentioned an affliction which will befall this community, in which no one will find any refuge from injustice. Allah will send a man from my family, and he will fill the earth with justice and equity, as it was previously filled with injustice and tyranny. The inhabitants of the heavens and the inhabitants of the earth will be pleased with him, and such plants will be produced by the earth that are living will wish the dead would come back to life. When they see the security, happiness and blessings of the earth and the might of Islam, they will feel in this manner. That will last for about 7 or 8 years.
We've got a caller online. Brother Daud, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, brother.
You on air, brother Daud.
Assalamu Mufti Elia.
Wa alaikum salam.
Muhyiddin Daud, yeah.
Ji, Mufti.
Mawlana, you quoted a hadith of Ibn Majah which you could claim to be fabricated.
Yes.
Now, according to my understanding of Ibn Majah, he is one of the six authentic hadiths.
Sure.
Now, how has this fabricated hadith crept into his collection of hadiths? That's number one. Number two, when Imam Mehdi comes, I understand, according to my reading, the battle will not be according to modern warfare, modern military equipment. It will be by sword or something like that, in a primitive way. So, these two questions I would like you to answer me.
You listen on air, or you want to stay on?
I'll listen on to the radio.
Okay, so
Jazakallah.
One is an important question, which I indicated the answer to, not directly. So, Alhamdulillah, the brother Dawood has raised a interesting point, that Ibn Majah has been classified as one of the six authenticated hadith books. So how come this hadith has crept in there? First of all, that when the scholars of ahadith have classified these six ahadith kitabs as the Sayyah Sitta, the six authenticated ahadith, it does not mean that each and every hadith in each of these six books are absolutely reliable and authentic. By this statement, it doesn't mean that now everybody or anybody reading any hadith in any one of these six books must now say, oh, I do not understand this hadith, it does not appeal to my intelligence, or I cannot make any rationale out of it, or there is no comprehension in this hadith, so therefore I just rule this hadith is not authentic. No. What I mentioned, that the scholars of the hadith, the experts of the hadith, the authorities of the hadith, the muhaddiseen who have researched each and every aspect of the hadith, they, if they say this hadith is not authentic or not reliable, then we accept their statement, not ours. So when they have stated this hadith which appears in Ibn Majah is not reliable, we accept their opinion.
Okay, we've got another caller online. Sister Suraya, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You on air, Ben?
Mulana,
yes.
I would like to ask you, with the present problems in as far as Islam is concerned right around the world, could you tell me, is this the time that the Imam Hadi would be born?
I've been explaining this over the last session.
I wasn't aware of the last session.
Okay, this session, we are discussing those issues. If you listen on, inshallah, because I am going to mention those events paving the way for the appearance and the coming of Mahdi. Okay. So you can listen on air, and inshallah, you'll be able to judge for yourself whether the time is ripe or the time is near or the time is far. Inshallah.
And then the other question I'd like to ask you is that you discussed Dajjal. Now, you know, we've done a lot of reading on Dajjal, but what I would like to know, would you say that the Dajjal is present in our homes? Because if you look at the television, one would look at that point as well. The information coming from there, right around, you know, what would one say? And as far as the computers are concerned, our children are open to this as well. Couldn't that be some indication or something to prove that the Dajjal is already in our homes?
As I mentioned, that Dajjal means fraud, deception.
Yes.
Or if you extend it, then you will say the equipment of fraud and deception, or the instruments of fraud and deception.
Okay.
That is now, we will say that the era coming close to Dajjal has come, but I've explained repeatedly that Mahdi is a person.
Gee,
and Isa is a person.
Yes.
And Dajjal is a person, is a physical person.
Gee.
So these are all his, we'll say, network.
Gee.
The network of Dajjal definitely is spread.
Oh, it is.
We'll see, this is the environment of trial and tribulation, of disobedience and transgression. But Dajjal still has to come. Just as Mahdi still has to come, Isa still has to come, Dajjal still has to come.
But there is a certain period of time between the birth of these three, the one great man and the two disasters. There is a period between. So what would you say the period between the births would be?
I would not give any time framework, but if you listen on, I will explain that first Mahdi will come. And yes. Where Mahdi has made sufficient victory and conquering, yes. Then at that stage, there'll be a rumor that Dajjal has come. That will be a rumor. Then yes. Mahdi will be mustering his forces in Damascus Jamia Masjid, and it will be confirmed that Dajjal has appeared and is moving from Syria area towards Jerusalem and towards Damascus also, his forces. Then Isa alayhi salam will descend to combat and kill Dajjal.
Okay. Now I just need one more question. You know that in the biblical history they've got the demon to be born with the three nines or three sixes, I think it is. What would you say if you had to put this, would this be part of the Dajjal or would that be another monster?
About that one, there is after Dajjal etc. in the books of Hadith, we talk about a creature called Dabbatul Ard. And this creature will come out between Safa and Marwa, and it will mark all those who are alive, who is a Muslim and who is a non-Muslim, and who is believing and who is not believing. So I think according to what you say, that biblical description perhaps is linked to the Dabbatul Ard, the beast from the earth, the talking beast from the earth, which we have, I've mentioned in one of my translations, a book called Major Signs of Qiyamah.
Anyway, Jazakallah, I just need to ask you these questions because I think that a lot of our Muslim brothers and sisters are not aware of the biblical history in part of this as well.
So, let alone the biblical history, many of us do not know even what the Quran and the Hadith say about the signs of Qiyamah, about Mahdi, Isa and Dajjal. Okay. But inshallah, the station we are trying to educate and inform, we will learn as we go along.
Right. Jazakallah. May Allah give you all the strength to carry on, and inshallah that our Ummah would be well aware of what is happening around us. Jazakallah.
So we were explaining that the last hadith that perhaps the rule of Mahdi will be 7 years. As far as the time framework is concerned, and then Brother Dawood's second question about the sword. So one possibility is that if they, let's say hypothetically speaking, if there has to be a third world war, and we know what is the potentiality of the so-called superpowers of the world, and everybody begins to utilize nuclear warfare, nuclear warheads, chemical warfare, biological warfare, imagine if the whole world now goes in for third world war, what will be left? What will be left will be fighting with swords. Because everyone will throw and use his best shot and utilize everything. As you and I know that some of these wars are caused in the world so that the arms and ammunition which is now second hand or obsolete or is in excess in quantity in the warehouses, they use it up so they can invent new equipment, new bombs, new missiles, etc. So, but if there is a third world war, there would not be a chance now to go back to the factory and invent new bombs. So if there is a third war prior to the coming of Isa alayhi salam, then it will not be strange to use swords, etc. However, one must realize that in certain parts of the world, in the jungles, in the forest, in the mountains, in this age, they still use the sword. And they still go around fighting on the horseback or the camel. And in the mountains, especially now in the mountains of Turkestan, Uzbekistan, and Afghanistan, we find that they use swords, they use horses. And in this age, if you have to tell a person, you know, they are using swords and horses, it sounds strange. So there will be nothing strange that when Isa alayhi salam comes and utilizes a sword. However, some people have given another interpretation. They say perhaps he has got a laser sword. So I do not know about that one or that explanation. And he may be using a laser sword beam, etc. Well, most of the ulama say no, it will be a sword. We were discussing, alhamdulillah, that Mahdi, he will rule for about 7 years. Also, I would like here to mention that we have to realize that Mahdi will come, according to the hadiths, that when people begin to say there is no Mahdi, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send Mahdi after despair has reached the point that people will begin to say there is no Mahdi. People will become despondent. 315 of the people of Syria, the same, or 313, the same number as the number of Muslim Mujahideen at Badr, will go to him from Syria and bring him out of the valley of Mecca from a house at Safa. Yeah, if you have to put it in sequence, that Mahdi will go away, according to the hadiths, he will realize people are looking for him. He will realize that the people are seeking him out. And he will realize that the people want him now. He will leave Madinatul Munawwara, especially when there will be a difference of opinion between the two who is going to become Khalif. So the scene will be that a ruler will pass away of Hijaz, and there will be two who will say that each one will say, I'm entitled to that post. And there will now be chaos, and obviously with chaos will go looting and plundering and murder and strife and riot and all those things. Mahdi will realize now he's been sought after. He will leave Madinatul Munawwara and go to Makkah. There in Makkah, according to now the sequence, he will go to a home, a house behind Safa. And people will be seeking him out after the bloodshed in Mina. And they will go and seek him out from Safa. According to one narration, they will virtually drag him out from there and take him away to the Mataf area. According to one narration, they will go look for him, and he will be taken from the house in behind Safa to the Mataf area. Because the hadiths which are coming in great number say that he will be recognized between the Hajar-e Aswad and the Maqam Ibrahim. And when we come to that section, we will explain. So they say they will take him out of the house of As-Safa. They will force him to accept their allegiance, and he will lead them in a 2 rakat of travelers of Salah. That means when he comes from Madinah, it will be not long after that. He will still be a Musafir, and that is why he will lead a 2 rakat Salah at the Maqam, and then will mount the Mimbar. According to some, that he will ascend the Maqam Ibrahim itself, which will go up and people will be able to see him. Now there are certain very interesting incidents concerning the time before he comes. Under the section we get those who the way before Mahdi. There's a hadith in As-Suyuti, he records it also, Hakim also records it. So one reported Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you see the black banners coming from Khorasan, then go to them, even if that means crawling over the snow. The deputy of Allah, the Mahdi, will be among them. Now Khorasan is that area. At this moment you will understand Khorasan to be that area of Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, and that those areas we term as Khorasan, and also snow falls in that area. So the black banners, according to this hadith, was going to be coming from there. It is stated in another hadith, a banner will emerge from Khorasan, and then some people will come out wearing white garments. At the head of them will be a man from Banu Tamim, paving the way for the rule of Mahdi before he emerges. And he will hand over the authority to Mahdi after 72 months. Now again, that is pointing to those areas which I've just mentioned. Yeah, it is mentioning that he will be battling for, and he will be paving the way within 72 months, and he will be handing over the rulership or the leadership to Mahdi, meaning that he will not be Mahdi amongst them. Then there is another hadith, black banners will come from the east and their hearts will be firm as iron, meaning their iman will be strong. Whoever hears about them should join them and give allegiance, even if this means crawling across the snow. Another hadith, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, Sufyani and black banners will meet at the gate of Istakhar, that's in Iran. Amongst them will be a youth from Banu Hashim with a mole on his left hand, and at the front will be a man of Banu Tamim called Shuayb bin Saleh. There will be a fierce battle between them. The black banners will be victorious, and the cavalry of Sufyani will flee. Then people will be adherents of Mahdi and seek him out. So these hadiths are showing something, that there are going to be black banners from that area where there is war taking place at the moment, where there is battle taking place at the moment. There are a few other hadiths which I would like to mention when we come back next Monday, I think, inshallah. And next Monday I will mention a few more hadiths, but I would like to mention something before we conclude for the night. All the signs that I mentioned tonight, and all the signs that I will be, inshallah, mentioning on the next Monday night, there is no sequence given in the hadith. Sequence meaning that this is going to happen, then this, and thereafter this. Because the hadith talks of, which I will quote next week for you, that there will be a financial, economical boycott of Syria, and there will be a financial, economical boycott of Iraq, and there will be some gold coming out of the river of Euphrates, and there will be some fire coming out, and the redness of the sky, and the hadiths I mentioned today. So we do not have, and we cannot, to the best of our ability, put some sequence to it. All the sequences that we come up with is mere conjecture, and it is, we are using our mental capacity and ability to put some sequence in it. But the true sequence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. That is why we are saying that the time when Mahdi will come, the exact time, the hour, the month, the year, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. If it was going to be beneficial for us to know the exact time of his arrival, then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should have certainly told us. When the Shariat has kept it hidden from us, then it is difficult for us to specify an exact time, date, year for the appearance of Mahdi.
JazakAllah Mufti Sahib. I think we've come to the end of our focus program for this evening. Inshallah, we will continue next Monday, concluding the topic of Mahdi before Ramadan. For myself, Yusuf Asmaji, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.